the Lord tells us to set our minds on things above. The King James says our affection on things above, which is good. The literal word there is setting our mind on things above. We should have many things in mind that we think about regularly, and we should know all the different parts of it and remind ourselves of these different parts, because this is going to come in the future and we need to be fully ready. In Acts the 17th chapter in verse 31, all men in the world have heard of Judgment Day. Because he hath appointed a day, verse 31, in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. So how many in the world don't know about the resurrection of the dead? Now, many mock it, but nevertheless, everybody knows about it. In Revelation, the 6th chapter, verses 12 through 17, we have a picture here that I thought I would read. Looks like it does apply to our subject here. Revelation 6, verse 12. And I beheld when he opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree cast her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? So here are these people going about their business, and suddenly Jesus appears in that cloud in heaven, and suddenly they know exactly what's coming, and they know that this is a day of wrath. So God has revealed all these things to everybody, even though we find that many are opposing it. Nevertheless, in their heart of hearts, they know that this is coming. In Isaiah, the 11th chapter, Isaiah 11, verses 9 and 10, God has spread his truth throughout the entire world. And this isn't just then, it's also now. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. Why? For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And this started very small. Christians were scattered throughout the world. And then it came where the saints inherited or got control of the whole world. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. That's Christ. So to it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. So he tells us then the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord. And we find even after the Dark Ages that many of the churches would send their missionaries on the ships for several reasons. One was so they could make peace with the natives in these new lands that they found, so they wouldn't kill them. And so when the Christians went in and converted the people, then merchants that went over there with all their ships and goods weren't killed. So there's a motive in that, but you know, the Lord's working all these things together, and so the earth has been full of the knowledge of the Lord ever since New Testament time. In Revelation 20, verse 11, Judgment Day will surely come. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So there are going to be several books open there on Judgment Day. And the Lord doesn't forget anything, and we'll see that in his scripture here. Let's turn to Hebrews, the 6th chapter, verses 1 and 2. The doctrine of eternal judgment is one of the foundation doctrines of Christianity. Verse 1, therefore, leaving the principles, that's first principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. And, of course, we know what that perfection is. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of the laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, and then lastly, eternal judgment. So these are the foundation of all Christians, if they have a foundation. So in Acts the 24th chapter, verse 25, thinking about this today should cause us to do some serious thinking about ourselves. Acts 24, verse 25. And as he reasoned of righteousness and temperance and self-control and judgment to come, Felix trembled. Why? Judgment to come. And he wasn't ready for it. He knew it. And he answered, go thy way for this time when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. And he did call for him, but not to hear about this eternal judgment. He was afraid of that. He wanted money from Paul. So when he did hear about Judgment Day, he feared. And he was a pagan that did not believe in God. Nevertheless, when he heard of the eternal judgment, he was afraid. In Hebrews 9, verse 27, I think we all know this scripture, but it fits in here well. There's no escaping this appointment with Jesus on Judgment Day. As it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. So no matter who dies, after this, the judgment. Now, humanism has done a very powerful work in at least silencing the Christians and silencing those that want to speak about God and Judgment Day. They don't want to hear about it. So they, one way or another, intimidate and threaten and whatever they have to do to destroy the ability that we have of talking to people about Judgment Day. In Jeremiah 23, verse 17, we find the same kind of people in Jeremiah's time. So we're not in a strange time in that sense. Jeremiah 23, verse 17. Many promise that no evil shall happen to their people. They say still unto them that despise me, here's the false teacher, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walks after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. Well, we had a sermon given us to check over. And the sermon, essentially the last part, was 100% on the promises of God. But it didn't mention anything about our part of the covenant so that we could get those promises. And all it did is just give all the promises of God. And so the false teachers then center on these things so that there's no fear in these people. They say, well, it's true, Judgment Day is coming, but look at all the promises here, and I believe the promises of God. And they comfort themselves, and they forget that this is a covenant, that we have our part in order to get those promises. In Ecclesiastes 8, men willingly forget that God will bring every work into judgment. And they say, well, it doesn't matter, look at all the promises of God. Ecclesiastes 8, verse 11. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Well, sentence doesn't come immediately. They think, okay, God's happy with me. I could do it again and again and again. And they do. And they forget about Judgment Day. They don't want to think about it. In Malachi chapter 2, it was the same in Old Testament times, most of the time that was there. Malachi 2, we're looking in verse 17. And they're asking the question, where is the God of judgment? Well, they found out. You have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet you say, wherein have we wearied him? When you say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, that wearies God. And that God delights on those that do evil, everyone, and that wearies God. Or they also ask, where is the God of judgment? So they were daring to oppose Malachi and all the other prophets, but they found out one day about this God of judgment. So in Matthew 24, verse 36, only the Father knows exactly when judgment day will come, but it will come. But at that day and hour, Matthew 24, 36, knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So there's no way that anybody can tell ahead of time, okay, judgment day is coming, you better get ready and prepare for it. The Lord doesn't want that. He wants men who will willingly do his will, and if they don't willingly do his will, he doesn't want them prepared for judgment day. In Matthew 25, 31 to 33, we see several events on judgment day, and this is an overall picture. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him. How many is that? That's a lot of angels. Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And we read previously about a great white throne. And before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them, the nations, one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. So why does the shepherd separate the sheep from the goats? Well, he can control the sheep. And he can't control the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. So God's going to judge these people, goats on the left hand, the sheep on the right. And he tells us that judgment must begin with the house of God, so we'll be first. In John 5 and verse 22, Jesus will be the one on that day that will judge, sitting on a great throne of his glory. For the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. So the Father's given Jesus not only this honor, but he's also qualified because he lived as man. He knows all of our temptations. We have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are. So he knows every temptation that we have. In John 5, verse 26, John 5, verse 26, God has committed all judgment because he is the Son of Man. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. And he's given him authority, that's the Son, to execute judgment also. Why? Because he is the Son of Man. He knows exactly what we feel like. So Romans the 14th chapter, Romans the 14th chapter, verses 10 and 11, all will stand before Christ on that day. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. There's no escape in that. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. So we need to plan for that. If we're going to plan for it, that would be wise. But we don't need to be like these university students that wait until the night before to cram for their exam, because we don't know when the exam is going to be there. And men would cram for that exam if they knew Judgment Day was going to come tomorrow. So in Hebrews the 12th chapter, everyone who ever lived will be gathered there on that day. Hebrews 12, verse 23, he says, they've not come to the general assembly of the church, sorry, they have come to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and of the spirits of just men made perfect. So that's what we've come to. We've come to the judge of all, and we need to be prepared for that day, and we need to prepare diligently every day. In Philippians, the second chapter, everyone will bow and confess that Jesus is Lord. Philippians 2, verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. There will be no more atheists up there in heaven. I don't think there are any here. They just keep lying to themselves. But everyone will confess and bow the knee to the Lord. In Luke, the 13th chapter, verse 28, what are we going to be thinking as we bow the knee before the Lord? Well, every knee is going to do it. Are we going to bow individually as we come before him to judgment? Or is everybody going to suddenly bow before him at one time? Or is there some other way? Whichever it is, we need to be ready to bow before the Lord. What will we be thinking as we bow before that great Lord? Revelation 20, verse 13. At the end of the world, Hades will give up the dead. The resurrection will occur, and all will be judged. Verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. Then verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. So what is the purpose for this final judgment? In 1 Corinthians 3, we find one of the purposes. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 5 through 8. The purpose of the judgment will be to determine the exact reward and the exact punishment that each soul will receive. Who then is Paul and who is Apostle? Apollos, verse 5. But ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watered, but God that gives the increase. And here it is. Now, he that plants and he that waters are one, not equal, but one. In what way? Every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. So I won't get anything from your labor. You won't get anything from mine. Each one of us will be judged and receive our own reward according to our own labor. So we need to, if we want more reward, we need to work more diligently. 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, verse 12. All the work that God's children have done that has not served God is going to be burned up. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, that's on the temple, which is the church, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, judgment day, because it shall be revealed by fire. How? Fire shall test every man's work of what sort it is. So if we build something, it'll be put in the fire. If it's burned up, then we suffer loss. If any man's work abide which he has built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So we'll be tested. If we ourselves pass the test of the fire, we'll be saved. But our work has also got to suffer the test of the fire. And if our work is burned up, then we get no reward for it. So that's why Paul was quite concerned about Corinth, about Galatia, about all these churches and places that he went, because every place he went where they fell away is going to be burned up. Paul will get no reward for that. In 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, verses 15 to 17, we should be very concerned about whether our work is burned up or not. We should try to find work that will pass the fire. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 15. But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things that shall be done unto me. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For why? Necessity is laid upon me. God's given him a job to do. He has to do it. Yea, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. He'll go to hell. If I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. There's love. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Paul had to do that. He had to preach the word. And when he stopped preaching, the Lord said, why are you stopped testifying, Paul? And he said, I have given you a promise. No man will set their hand on you to harm you. So go preach. Well, Paul was not preaching because he was afraid. He'll have to answer for that. We'll have to answer if we don't preach because we are afraid. We need to ask the Lord's protection, and we need to preach the word. So Psalms 110, verse 3, the Lord made a prophecy concerning his children, and we've just read about this prophecy here in 1 Corinthians 9, but here in Psalms 110, verse 3, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. So in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. So thy people will be willing in the day of thy power. So back in the Old Testament, his people mostly were not willing at all. But in the New Testament, nobody is a Christian if they don't want to be. Nobody's forced. And these people that baptize their babies and force them to be a Christian, that's not true Christianity. His people will be willing. They'll have a mind willing to do the will of God. And if they don't, they won't be in the kingdom. In Ezekiel 18:22-24, this is a very necessary thing for us to understand. Judgment will be either all bad or all good. In verse 22, all his transgressions that he hath committed, talking about the righteous man, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. So what's he going to hear on judgment day? Notice, he does not say they will not be mentioned. He says they will not be mentioned unto him. So everything's going to be mentioned. And then he says, if I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live. But when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and commits iniquity and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live. All his righteousness that he has done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass that he has trespassed and in his sin that he has sinned, in them shall he die. All of his righteousness will not be mentioned. Nothing good will be told to the wicked man. So judgment is either all going to be good or all going to be bad. In Ecclesiastes 12, just in case we think that some of our deeds are not going to be known, he tells us in verse 13, Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment. That's why we need to fear God. With every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So every single thing is going to be brought before God on judgment day. Every evil that I've done, that will be mentioned. Every good that I've done, if I'm righteous, will be mentioned. And that'll be mentioned to me. So I'll get a reward for that. But if I turn from him, all the good that I might have done will not be mentioned to me. In Luke 8, verse 17, Jesus warns that every secret thing will be known. So this is New Testament doctrine also. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. So every secret thing, nothing is secret that won't be revealed. So we don't need to think, okay, I'll do this and nobody will know. Everybody's going to know. So in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, not just the deeds and the works that we'll be judged by, but notice here, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have his praise of God. So God is going to reveal the hearts behind the actions on that day. So everything that we have thought is going to be revealed behind our actions. In Romans, the second chapter, Romans 2, there's going to be a righteous judgment that nobody can complain about. Romans 2:14, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, we're talking about the law of Moses, do by nature the things contained in the law, and he mentions those in Romans 1, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, So God writes these laws in the hearts of everybody, every Gentile, every person that's not a member of the body. These works of the law are written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness. So that's going to be revealed on Judgment Day. And their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. So a man may do something, but his thought may excuse that action. And he's got a good reason for doing it, not evil. So every action is not either good or bad in and of itself. It depends on what the heart is behind that action. For example, the Pharisees did many things that were good, but their hearts were not there. They were after the praise of men. Are they going to get any credit on Judgment Day for those things? No, the counsel of the heart's going to be revealed, and it'll be revealed they didn't do it for God. They did it so they could get praise and ultimately get more money. In John the 12th chapter and verse 48, John 12 and verse 48, Jesus will not use his own standard on Judgment Day. He that rejects me and receives not my words, verse 48, hath one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. So he made it clear that the Father gives these words to Christ. And so he wants us then to understand that we will be judged by the things written in this book. So we need to know these things. And if we don't know some of it, we're doing evil because we don't know it. Whose fault is that? If you seek, you'll find. We can find every single command and every single thing. And Paul prayed for the Colossians that they would be filled with all the knowledge of his will. Well, we need to have all that knowledge. In James, the second chapter, verse 12, we won't be judged by the law of Moses. James 2, verse 12, so speak ye and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. So the Lord sets us free from captivity to Satan. That's the law of liberty. There is a law, and that's how we are going to be judged. But how many people in the world believe that they're going to be judged by what's written here in the New Testament? If they did, they'd be looking at the New Testament to find out what it said. But they think they're going to be judged by all the promises of God. They have no responsibility whatsoever. I think they might be surprised. So in Luke, the 16th chapter, before Judgment Day, all the dead will know where they will spend eternity. As soon as they die, it came to pass that the beggar died, verse 22, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. So where is Lazarus going to spend his time? He's going to spend his time in paradise and then in heaven with the Lord. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes being in torment. So where's the rich man going to spend his eternity? In the lake of fire and brimstone prepared for the devil and his angels. So as soon as we die, we'll know where we are and where we're going to be forever. Matthew 11, verse 20. Matthew 11 and verse 20. Judgment is going to be harder on some than for others. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. So here he's doing all these works for them. He's giving them far more than he gave to anybody else, as Capernaum and Bethsaida, and yet they refused to repent in his preaching. Woe unto thee, Chorazin, that's up there at the top of the Sea of Galilee. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida, that's a little to the west, above the Sea of Galilee. For if the mighty works were done in you, which had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. So their hearts were not nearly as hard as these Jews in Chorazin and Bethsaida. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. More tolerable. You can tolerate something, you can tolerate a certain amount of pain, but it's going to be more tolerable for some than for others. So there's going to be a difference in judgment and in the rewards for evil. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, so they had a good reputation, but you shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee have been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. So Sodom is pretty bad. And he gives that as an example of suffering the punishment of eternal fire. But here he says it's going to be less punishment for Sodom than it will for these Pharisees and the Jews that did not believe in Capernaum. So that but I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable in the land of for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. So if we're going to have a place to be, we surely don't want to be in Sodom's place. We do not want to be in the place where these people in Capernaum were. In Romans, the 12th chapter, that day will determine how many coals of fire will be upon each man's head after the judgment day. Romans 12, verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So that's encouraging. We don't have to worry about getting our own vengeance. God can get far greater vengeance than we can. And he promises, I will repay. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. So because of their dealing with us, the world is going to be punished more or punished less. Depends on what they do. But we can pour coals of fire by returning good for evil. Of course, we don't want to have somebody suffer because of us. But nevertheless, if we return good for evil, that is what's going to happen. In Luke, the 12th chapter, verse 47, on Judgment Day, the degrees, again, are mentioned here of the amounts of punishment. And that servant which knew his Lord's will, there's somebody that knows the Scripture, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, here's someone that didn't bother to know, and did commit things worthy of stripes, disobeyed the commands of God, shall be beaten with few stripes. Both of them are going to be beaten. Why? Because they did those things worthy of stripes. Anytime we disobey the command of God, we're worthy of stripes. And the world is doing what? Constantly, every day. They're at least turned after vanity, if not evil. And do they know these things they're doing are evil? He says the wicked don't know at what they stumble. So we need to try to help these people to understand. Of course, most of them will hate us. If they're scorners, they will hate us. If they're fools, they'll reject everything we say. If they're simple, they'll say, yeah, okay, I'll think about it. So in Romans, the 2nd chapter, verses 14 and 15, the Gentiles who lived before Christ, before the cross, will be judged according to their consciences. And that's interesting. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law of Moses, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. And then he goes on to say it's in the day of judgment, verse 16. But in verse 12, he says, as many as have sinned without law shall perish without law. As many have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. So all those Jews that had the law will be judged by the law of Moses. Those Gentiles which did not will be judged by their conscience and the laws which God wrote in their hearts. So even today, if men don't know the commands of God, they're going to be judged by their conscience, but they're going to be beaten because they're doing things worthy of stripes. So Romans, the 2nd chapter, verses 5 and 6, every man will be judged according to his work, the things that he does on the outward man. Romans 2, 5 and 6, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Keep in mind, the world is blind. They don't see the heart behind their action. So God is going to judge them by the deeds. And they know when is good and when is wrong. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in the body, according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Let's turn to Romans, the first chapter, and read these laws that God writes in the hearts of every man, no matter whether he knows of Judgment Day or he doesn't know of Judgment Day. Romans, the first chapter, and we're looking at verse 28. Something's wrong here. Sorry. In verse 28, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, so they heard about God, they rejected him, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. A mind is a disobedient mind that's reprobate. To do those things which are not convenient, they're not proper. Being filled with all, and here they are, unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable and unmerciful. So 23 sins. God writes these in the heart of all men, even humanists. They know what they're doing is wrong. And in verse 32, knowing the judgment of God, that they which do such things, commit such things, are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So then he tells them in verse 1, therefore thou art inexcusable. So come judgment day, who is going to have an excuse? Nobody will have any excuse whatsoever. We'll have no excuse for not knowing all of the commands of the will of God. So we need to do our homework and not the night before. We need to search and find all the commands. And as we listen to sermons, we need to have our ear tuned to listen to other commands that we may not know, so that we can at least have a chance to obey the commands of God and live in heaven with the Lord because we have been righteous. Tonight we'll offer the invitation to those that are not a part of the body of Christ. If you repent of your sins and want to be buried with Christ in the waters of baptism for the remission of your sins, and if you would like to be in the kingdom of God, in the house of God, in the family of God, so that God would work with you and form the heart of Christ, so you would do all the things that are right and good, we'd encourage you to come during this invitation hymn. And if you need the prayers of the church, we would encourage you also to come. Shall we stand together and sing?